Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Dina Rabinovich, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Nun Chet. It would have been natural for David to be angry with Shaul for Shaul's relentless pursuit of David. It's something we could have related to as well. The greatness of David HaMelech is that David does not blame Shaul. This is seen in Mizmor Nun Chet, the second Mizmor Al Tashchet. What is Al Tashchet? What does it mean? We can look at the phrase as a reference to the words Moshe Rabbeinu uses in Devarim when he implores HaKadosh Baruch Hu to refrain from destroying Bnei Israel after Chet Egel. It can be a plea to Hashem not to let Shaul kill David, or not to let David do anything rash and kill Shaul. Or, as Rav Hirsch says, Al Tashchet deals with conditions that portend general ruin and corruption, unless God would intervene and put a stop to them. It is used here because of what David experiences in his own life. Al Tashchet can also be the tune that was used when this mizmor was played. Think, please play the melody of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, or whatever song you would wish to insert. In this mizmor, David is attacking those who have seen evil and remained silent, those who should have intervened, those who chose to ignore what was going on in front of them. Or, like the quote attributed to Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. While there is no historical reference in this mizmor like there has been in the last few mizmorim, its position in this section of Sefer Tehillim, in the middle of Sefer Sheni with the other historical mizmorim, suggests that this one is also based on a historical event. Indeed, Rashi notes that this is the mizmor that David recited when he had the second opportunity to attack Shaul and doesn't attack. When was the first opportunity? When Shaul entered the cave where David was hiding, and Avishai, David's nephew and commander of the army, urges David to take advantage of the situation and to attack Shaul. This event takes place in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Dalet and was referenced in the previous mizmor, Mizmor Nun Zayin. Instead of killing Shaul, David cuts off the corner of Shaul's coat, though he quickly regrets his action. According to the Midrash, Avner, who is Shaul's cousin and head of the army, convinces Shaul that his coat was snagged by thorns in the cave. In other words, Shaul doesn't even realize how close David came to killing him. The second time David could have killed Shaul is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chav Vav. Shaul and his men are asleep at night. All of the men are asleep. No one is awake to guard the camp. No one is awake to guard the king. Avishai, David's nephew, the one who previously urged David to take advantage of the opportunity in the cave, is with David as they go together to scout out Shaul's camp. Once again, Avishai urges David to take advantage of the situation. Once again, David refuses. This time, however, David takes Shaul's chanit, his spear, and his water bottle. These are two items that Shaul has with him at all times. Avner will not be able to explain how David has them, other than admit that David had the opportunity to kill Shaul and did not. Perhaps it is to Avner that David is directing this mizmor. Ha'omnam elem tzedek tedaberun, misharim tishbetu b'nei adam. Do you, O chieftains, indeed speak justice? Do you, in rightness, judge humankind? You should have spoken righteously with Tzedek after the first time I could have killed Shaul, but you did not. That was in the cave when I tore his coat, and you convinced Shaul that the coat was snagged by a thorn bush. Elem in our pasuk has two possible meanings. It can be silenced, which is how Rashi translated it. Have these righteous words that you should have said been silenced by your mouth? Elam can also mean a company or congregation, which is how Ibn Ezra understands the word. Do not speak as a righteous company does. Pasuk Gimel, Av belev olot tif'alun, ba'aretz chamas yedechem tif'alesun. In your heart you work misdeeds on earth, weigh a case with outrage in your hands. Double negative alert. It is not enough that you are not speaking the truth, but you are also thinking about wickedness in your heart. This is how Rashbam looks at the pasuk. The wickedness has consequences to the land and will start a ripple effect where gradually acts of wickedness will begin to be seen as tzedek, as right. People will think that you acted justly and that it is okay to act this way. It is not. Perhaps it is to the other men who have taken advantage of when Shaul was under the influence of the Ruach Ra'ah, the spirit of melancholy, and egged Shaul into pursuit. Perhaps it is to them that David is speaking. Perhaps it was people like Doeg ha'Edomi and Achitophel ha'Giloni, who we have seen in previous prakim, and give advice that has gotten David into trouble. What imagery is used to describe these men, Doeg and Achitophel, these Rasha'im? We can see that in Psukim Dalet and He. They are compared, Zoru Rasha'im Mirachem, the wicked have been wayward from birth, Ta'u mi beten dovrei chazav, these liars astray from the womb, Pasuk He, Chamat lamo kidmut chamat nachash, their venom is like snake venom. Kumo feten cheresh ya'atem ozno, they are as deaf as the cobra that stops its ears. This part of the verse is then connected to Pasuk Vav, Asher lo yishma lekol melach hashim, the snake that is deaf, will tune out the whispers of the charmer, chover chavarim mechukam, the most skilled of enchanters. Don't you know, we could say that David is saying, don't you know what God did to the snake? God broke the teeth of the snake, and now he eats dusts. The Rashbam notes that there is a snake called Fetin, and when you squeeze it, the ears are closed up. Like a wicked person who makes himself deaf and will not listen to the friends whispering what to do or what not to do. David implores Hashem too, Pasuk Zayin, Elokim harashi nemo bifimo, God crush their teeth in their mouth. Malteot kfirim netotz Hashem, God smash the fangs of these young lions. Recall that in Mizmor Nun Zayin, David was comparing their teeth to swords. He is continuing with that imagery in this Mizmor. The words they had been using were like fangs of wild animals when attacking their prey. So the request of David to smash their fangs is to make sure they can never attack people again with their words, with their advice. Pasuk Chet, Yima'asu chamo mayim yitalchu lamo, may they melt away like water and vanish. Yidrochitzav kimo yitmo lalu, when they aim their arrows, let him pull back his arrows. Tet kimo shablul, Temis yahaloch, let them crumble like a snail dissolving as it moves. Nefel eshet val chazu shamesh, like a stillborn that never sees the sun. The Yalkut Shimoni provides some context to the stillborn mentioned in this pasuk and says it is like the stillborn of a woman who had an affair with somebody not her husband, got pregnant, is now ashamed, and is casting off the fetus in the middle of the night so that no one will see what happened. David wants the wicked people, whom he has just described in this Mizmor, to be punished, and he wants them to be punished quickly before anything more can develop and grow. Pasuk Yod, Beterem Yavinu Sirotechem Atad. I'm not even going to start with a translation because there are a few ways to even look at the words, and that will have a totally different context. So the Sforno, Rav Avadya Sforno, and Radak, Rav David Kimchi, both hold that we're talking about meat in a sear in a pot that's being heated by Atad, the thorns. And they'll translate as follows. Before the meat in the pot feels the fire of the thorns burning beneath it, meaning the meat is still quite raw. That's how early David is asking Hashem to act. Don't let anything grow anymore or develop anymore. Rashi is going to translate the word sear as a thorn, which is also common throughout Tanakh, and Atad also is a thorn. One is young, one is older. So Rashi says, before the young thorns, the sirim, grow into harsher thorns, the ated, which would mean that the children of the wicked would grow up. Both have the connotation of doing something before can develop even more. But we have all discussing thorns or discussing meat and fire. Interesting imagery coming to mind. Kimochai, kimocharon, yisarenu, still alive and in wrath rushed to ruin. Pasuk yidalef, yismach tzadik ki chaza nakam, pe'amav yirchatz bedem harasha. The just man rejoices when vengeance he sees. His feet will bathe in the wicked one's blood. In other words, the righteous will rejoice when he sees that the wicked are receiving their just deserts. And the word for seeing is chaza, which connotes more of an inspiration, a feeling in the heart, rather than the seeing that would come with the verb ra'ah. And the final pasuk, Vayomar Adam ach pri latzadik ach yesh Elokim shoftim ba'aretz. And man will say, yes, there is fruit for the just. Yes, there are gods judging the earth. David is leaving vengeance to God, and the Mizmor concludes. But to go back to the previous pasuk, Yud Aleph, there's some interesting midrashim about what is happening with the Yismach Tzadik when he's getting happy, ki chazat nakam, when he sees the vengeance. Two are based on the second part of pasuk Yud Aleph, pe'amav yirchatz bidam harasha, his feet he will bathe in the wicked one's blood, and Yalkut Shimoni says it could refer to Bilam, or to Mordechai, who saw the vengeance that God had brought to Haman. But I find the Midrash on the first part a little more interesting, and note this portion of the Midrash can also be found in the Gemara in Sota. Yismach tzadik ki chaza nakam. The just man rejoices when vengeance he sees. Who is the just man? Asks the Yalkut Shimoni. Yaakov. Why is he smiling? Because Esav had died and was going to be buried the same day as Yaakov. What is the backstory? The Shvatim have traveled to Marat Machpelah to bury Yaakov, and there they encounter Esav. Esav is questioning their right to bury Yaakov and wanted to claim that when he sold the birthright to Yaakov, he, Esav, did not sell the rights to the burial plot. The brothers replied, "Well, yes, you did sell the rights. Prove it," said Esav. "Bring me the bill of sale." The brothers replied that the bill of sale was in Egypt and sent Naphtali, the Ayala Shlucha, who is described as a quick deer, to run as fast as he could and bring back the document. Hushim, the son of Dan, who was hard of hearing, meaning Hushim was hard of hearing, not Dan, Hushim was there and sensed rather than heard that something was going on. He asked, "Why is there a delay? Why aren't they burying grandfather?" and was told that there was a question about the bill of sale. Hushim replied, "And until Naphtali returns, our father's father must lie in wait with his body decomposing?" Hushim took a club and hit Esav on the head. Esav's eyes fell out, and they fell on the legs of Yaakov, who somehow, even though he's been dead for a while, opened up his eyes and smiled. Yismach tzadik ki chaza nakam pe'amav yirchatz bedam harasha. The just man rejoices when vengeance he sees. His feet he will bathe in the wicked one's blood. There's another way of looking at this mizmor. Rav Benny Gesundheit, who I've quoted beforehand, who looks at Sefer Tehillim as a sefer, as a book, feels that there is no historical event in the heading, so there's no historical event being actively referred to. He looks at this mizmor as one that is in the center of the Al Tashchet series that go on from Nun Vav to Samech, where David is seeking justice. The Mizmor begins as a kina, a lament. Are you judging fairly? You are embedded in wickedness. And he compares his audience to a speaker of lies whose words are like the venom of snake. The kina shifts in Pasuk Zion to a prayer to Hashem. Elokim harashi nemo v'fimo. God smashed their teeth in their mouth. Milat ot kfirim netot Hashem. The jaws of the lions shatter, O Lord. The Mizmor concludes with the statement that the tzaddik, the one who acts with tzedek, with justice, will ultimately succeed. Why? Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayomar Adam Ach Pri LaTzaddik. People will say the righteous do harvest fruit. Ach Yesh Elokim Shoftim Ba'aretz. There is, after all, divine justice on the earth. That we need to make the justice. We need to make sure we are acting properly so that justice prevails. So, we have two ways of looking at this mizmor. Like Rashi, as part of the historical mizmorim, referring to Avner and the lies he told to Shaul, and seeing and appreciating, and maybe even hoping we can emulate, David's restraint. Or like Benny Gesundheit, as part of the overall progression of the growth of David. And the beauty of Sefer Tehillim, both are true. And we have a lot to learn from both ways of looking at this mizmor. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui Nishmat Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bat Chaim Leib.